feel like turning on the radio today to start some music, so I'm just gonna, I don't know, hum some Daft Punk myself. How's it going, everybody? It's 5:28 a.m. on Monday, July 23rd. I think I guessed the right date. Felt like it was 22nd yesterday. Today is the 23rd, that's right. It's a Monday morning, rise and shine. The sun is not out yet. I am somewhere in Georgia. Usually I do like a North Carolina, South Carolina pod. We're in Georgia today. We're on our way to Hotlanta, on our way up to North Carolina, on our way to the DMV. That's right, our nation's capital. It's gonna be a big week. Phew! All right, couple ideas. As always, a million things to talk about. A million plus one. So I had an idea. There's an overwhelming problem. There's an overwhelming problem of money. Money being a, money bribing people to do things, money controlling people's lives. It has its impact on all of us. I hope that one day we'll get to a point when money won't be as important as it is right now, where if you can create a world where we can receive an immense amount of value at a very minimal cost, we have things like 3D printers that can make our household items or even our food for us, or if we have ways of transporting ourselves in vehicles using renewable instead of combustible energy that they can be procured from the sun or something basically for free. All of a sudden, you open up ways of living at minimal cost with high value or receiving high benefit, and even high levels of consumption without being expensive. You're not just living opulently without paying for it. It's possible in the future of automation. Anyway, so I think that's one way to combat the money problem, is to create a world of value. You know, everyone has a smartphone that's your personal assistant that answers all your questions for minimal cost, you know, connected to the internet, something like that, you know, when it comes to everything. Now, in the meantime, I was thinking about solving the money problem. Money is all, it's all abstract, really, when you think about it. It's just paper, right? You walk around. I had a $100 bill in my pocket earlier today before I lost it. It's all just paper, right? We assign a value to it. It's just paper, really, though. It's what we believe it is. So we could just create a whole bunch of paper, and if we all believed it was worth what it was, we could just hand out this paper to everyone, and everyone could be rich. Everyone could have $100 bills they'd be running around with. We joke about counterfeiting and people printing their own $100 bills at home and passing them off as real. Yeah, that's a real possibility. You could actually do that in the world, right? It's, of course, a federal offense, and the Secret Service will come after you because I believe they're in charge of counterfeit currency. But point is, it's still the way we think about money. And when you break it down and accept that money, financial money, paper money, financial numbers, the belief that numbers are there, is all just a community belief in faith in a system and faith in integrity of transactions, you know, but that's all it really is. So the unstable backbone of the belief of what that is in the currency system also means that can be manipulated for the good, and you can just run around, you know, banks or the Federal Reserve can write blank checks and sell T-bills to the Treasury and create money out of nothing, and you could just create cash. So let's say, or you could just allocate money. Let's say the government was not being run by a treasonous tyrant. It was being run by Ken Braverman, because I am running for president in 2020, if you haven't heard. And I wanted to, for example, take a stab at solving the homelessness panhandling problem, you know, something like that. And I wanted to help prevent this, or at least mitigate this issue with people just roaming around begging for money, not having a home, not having a job, not getting it together, barely scraping by, because when you just run around at a red light, you know, and sneaking up on a median at someone when they're just sitting around, they got their window open, it's nice outside, and you beg them for change. Yeah, if I got change sitting in my tray, I'll probably throw the guy something if he doesn't look like he's all whacked out on Pop Rocks at the moment, right? You know, it just happens. So those people can sort of make some money. It's not a good way to live. They actually get hit by cars often because they're not crossing the streets properly. They're jaywalking like crazy. It's you're not going to get a nice tan out there if you're there all day either. It's not healthy. People really shouldn't be doing it, right? And it's also unsightly. Like, nobody really wants to get approached. I get a little bit uptight when the firemen come after us raising money with the boots. I mean, bunch of strapping fire dudes asking me for change. I'm definitely going to give them money, but I'm also uncomfortable and wish they wouldn't come by, especially when you're on a commute and you're hanging out the same red light every day. And you feel like, you know, I'm spending my Starbucks money on the firemen. I mean, good for you guys. I appreciate you attacking the four alarms with your hoses, but occasionally I'd like to get a latte and need my spare change. Anyway, back to the homelessness problem. I was thinking about how can we solve this problem or work on it? What's the issue here? The issue is there are people roaming around who have enough energy to beg you for change at the side of your car at an intersection. But they don't have enough, you know, organizational wherewithal, or they're feeding an addiction problem or a mental illness or some other personality disorder that prevents them from holding down a job, listening to anyone, earning a form of steady income outside of panhandling on the street, right? And I thought for a second, well, what does, I always like to utilize things that are available and free. And what's free here is the energy that the panhandler has to, whatever, feed their addiction probably and get money, right? And walk around and go, you know, there's energy walking around and doing something. Well, instead of begging people for money, what if the panhandler was doing good things for the environment, for the earth that the panhandler is roaming around on at the moment? Good things like what, you say, Ken Braverman? Good things like, I don't know, picking up litter that's on the side of the road, probably litter that panhandler was contributing to the ground at some point, but could be picking up random cups, you know, straws, pieces of plastic, all kinds of stuff, putting them in a trash bag and then bringing them to a place of refuse that is not the ground. That's one thing that a panhandler could be doing. What else could a panhandler be doing outside during the day? Could be, I mean, picking up litter is a big one. How about, other than picking up a litter, what can humans do to the earth just to make it a better place, just walking around? You could mow lawns. You could do landscaping type work. I always get annoyed when there's high shrubbery at medians when you're trying to like take a left turn, as it obstructs your view when you're looking at cars coming the other way. I always thought that's a hazard. But, you know, doing lawn work is kind of a big deal. I don't think that a homeless person is going to be doing that. I'll come up with some other things that you could probably be doing. But let's just go with picking up litter. And here's my point. What if we all lived in the future and there were a bunch of like R2-D2 type robots roaming around? I had an idea of one of these types of robots that actually would go around and pick up litter. But for the sake of the argument of what I'm talking about here, let's say that there are these R2-D2 type robots roaming around the earth. Right? Tons of them. Hundreds of them. Hundreds of them in populated areas, right? Just roaming around the sidewalk, you know, stopping at red lights and stuff, just rolling around like R2-D2 on wheels, you know, like a little bubblehead thing. Inside of them, they're like ATMs. There's just cash inside of them, right? All right, lots of cash. I know what you're thinking. What the hell, Ken? There's lots of cash inside. What these things are doing, they have cameras all over them, all right? They've got cameras with facial recognition software, right? Which is something I'd like to talk about. because facial recognition software is becoming awesome. Awesome in the fact that it is working. It is working like you wouldn't believe it's working. And it's forming databases of people and identifying things and working very well. So facial recognition software and cameras on top of this R2-D2 thing with a bunch of cash that's roaming around the earth all the time is watching everyone. And it's watching the panhandlers. It's watching people. And so say there's one that's like watching a like one of these R2-D2 things is hanging out at the corner of an intersection and it's got its camera on this panhandler in the middle of the median, right? Like a four, you know, there's two lanes, median, then another two lanes. Say that the robot is just hanging out at the corner of the intersection, not going anywhere, watching the panhandler, notices the panhandler. This is not something that it may or may not be illegal in the jurisdiction where the panhandler is doing this, right? But anyway, so this robot's watching it. And if the panhandler is getting aggressive with people, the robot is going to catch that. And maybe that would be a bad thing. Maybe it would report it to the police, and maybe the panhandler would get picked up for harassing people or something. There's that. Then there's the other side of it, which is, what if the robot watches the panhandler pick up trash off the ground and take it over to a dumpster and dump it in a dumpster? What if the robot watches that happen, uses its artificial intelligence within its camera recording software to say, I just witnessed someone do an environmental act of kindness, and that is worth about $3.50, $3.50. Oh my God, I saw somebody pick up a Coke can, a dirty syringe is worth $10, and some dog poop, and put it into a trash can. Wow, that's worth $9.75. And it pays the panhandler out of a dispenser. And the panhandler gets off of the median and begging people for spare change, and goes and cleans up a park somewhere and makes more money. Because this random robot act of kindness thing pays it for doing good Samaritan work. Right? It's kind of like a compensating for community service. I'm using litter as an example because why not beautify the world and pick up all the crap and pay everybody to do it? Right now we have, a lot of times I've seen prisoners out with, the little, like the pointy cane thing that picks up trash off the ground. You ever see it picking up tickets at like the racetrack, like pokes the ground? I see prisoners do that on the side of the road on highway, remediation of trash and stuff. That could be panhandlers. I don't want panhandlers going on interstates and stuff like that, but just in general neighborhoods and stuff like that. The only impediment to this is having these random robots with cash rolling around all across the earth. Sounds ridiculous, but in a Ken Braverman world, we'll make that kind of stuff happen. I will do that. Because why not? Why not make the world awesome? All right, I'm serious. There was another kind of string or way to go down that, which is, I was thinking, somebody I know from Vermont. It's so weird how people get so angry at like socialism or something. People get angry at like using the government to help the people, which is so counterintuitive, you think, or just absurd. Why would you not want your government to help your people? There's a weird like want to suffer element to some people, where people like they like to revel in their own discomfort of life. Like, because they're not happy with things, they feel like everyone should not be happy with this. So they promote views where nobody gets helped out and shit gets worse. Things stay the same or get worse. It's a horrible, horrible way to look at the world. Stop doing that, everyone. No, things can always be better. The future is supposed to be better. We are supposed to solve problems. Things are supposed to get easier. We're supposed to live older and be healthier and live more productive lives further into our old age. Everything's supposed to be getting better. That's the arc of life. Not things should be the same and suck. That is an old static way. I see this in a lot of people that are not open-minded and problem-solving and thinking and complaining about how things are. Stop that. Start, get your shit together and start solving your problems. It's up to you and up to all of us, right? That's the way we should go in the mind. So, all right, here's the thing I was coming up with. Another direction I was going with was, somebody was complaining about like Bernie Sanders or something being too socialism. So I said, listen, Bernie Sanders has an idea of having the government pay for education, higher education, I believe. And I thought, that is a good idea, but yes, of course, it is kind of a pipe dream to have the government pay for everyone's higher education. That would be ridiculously expensive, given how expensive university colleges and stuff are right now, right? And I thought, well, what if the government only paid for majors or areas of focus in higher education, which the government deemed valuable? Then you could actually do it, and there would be a reason to do it. What areas are you talking about, Ken? And the answer is artificial intelligence, machine learning, cyber, coding, anything to do with how to use robots and technology and algorithms to be productive in the world and to do work. To lend the knowledge that you have about how the world works into the community of knowledge that we all use and draw from to solve all the world's problems. That's what we need. I don't want to call out a major that isn't value. I don't think anyone needs to major in English anymore. That's not true. And you know what it is? If you're going to major in English, you have to have a backup of why are you using that English? Are you using that English because you're writing algorithms that are deducing language that do analysis on articles and things to figure out if they're true or not, or if they're written with a perspective? You know, you have to do something with that English degree other than just write Edgar Allan poetry, right? That's the point about how diverse our skill set has to be as 21st century Homo sapiens. So we're over 17 minutes in. I want to pay panhandlers to pick up trash with robotic R2-D2 ATMs. I think that sounds highly reasonable. And I'm on my way to Virginia, and I'll get there at some point later today. So once again, it's probably going to be a big week. They're all big weeks now. Whew. Ken Griffin's out.